Well, we are going to finish up Psalm 1 today. So I hope you brought your Bibles or have memorized Psalm 1 in the past month or previously. So far, we've talked about the two main images that are found in Psalm 1. And we've been doing fun with botany, or something approaching fun with botany. And we talked about trees and how trees grow and being properly planted. And we've talked about chaff. We've talked about the parts of the plant that aren't useful and that are blown away in the wind. And we're okay with it being blown away in the wind because we didn't really want it around anyway. We've talked about this image in Psalm 1 of what a righteous person looks like and what a wicked person looks like. And we talked about, you know, the idea of wicked. Maybe we should be a little more uncomfortable than at first glance. But we have these images. To close out our looking at this psalm, we're going to look at some verses with some words that are not as exciting as tree planted by water or chaff being blown away in the wind. Let's read Psalm 1. It's short enough. We can read that. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are a lot of good images in this psalm, and there are a lot of really good words for study and for focus. I'm seeing lights going all over the place here. In this psalm, I suspect, though, that you might not get too excited about the imagery in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There are a couple words here that we might appreciate, but maybe not get excited about. The first I'm going to say is law. When you hear law in a church, and you're about to get a comparison, right? Mike was talking about law in his table talk, very good table talk. And he was talking about how there was the law, and isn't it wonderful that we don't have to do that anymore? Law brings to mind images of sacrifice and of failure. And instead, we have the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. We are not under the law anymore. But Psalm 1 says, law is delight. This is, verse it starts off with, how do you want to be blessed? Or like we talked about, happy is another translation for that first word. You want to be happy? Focus on the law. Not where we would go first, I don't think. I think the other word associated with it, maybe don't get excited about, is meditate. Or there are a few other translations about practicing or focusing. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, even if we have a positive view of the law, even if we can take, you know, take a Christian transition and say and put in Bible instead of law, or Word of God instead of law, even if we like studying our Bible, this image of meditating on it day and night, again, maybe we can appreciate that, but maybe not get excited about that. You know, what do you picture, says somebody meditating on the law day and night? You know, just this person hunched over a desk, or just a book, or maybe even a scroll open. Somebody, when I was an undergrad, was talking about this image, and he said one of the translations for meditate there is murmur, and they picture the scribe or the scholars just so into it they just don't even notice their lips are moving, and they're just so into their study that they're just in a zone, and you kind of get maybe the image of a scribe or a rabbi or maybe a Hasidic Jew focusing on that. In fact, did you know the curls you're probably familiar with on Hasidic Jews? The way that where they typically come by those is, you might be familiar with the part in the law that says do not trim the sides of your beard. They call it the peyote. I don't know, Gary, is that what you're doing? No. Okay, and so the sides get bushy. You can trim up a lot of it, but the sides get very bushy. And I've read, I've heard that because they have all that extra hair on the side of their beard, when they're studying the scripture, the practice is to twirl it in your fingers. As you're focusing, as you're meditating, as you're murmuring upon the Torah, you just unconsciously twirl. And I've read that's where those Hasidic curls on the sides come from. Again, we can appreciate that image, but who's excited about that sort of thing? We can say, yes, I can understand a righteous person can gain much from study of the law. And a couple weeks ago I mentioned an image from Fiddler on the Roof in my mind, and I thought that here, in the If I Were a Rich Man song, at one point it says, I would spend 7 hours every day sitting and discussing the good book with the other men. And we can appreciate that, but we got things to do. I think we could come up with other things. And so, when we come to Psalm 1, we can appreciate verse 2, and then we really want to talk about that tree and that chaff, and the righteous and the wicked, and where they're going. I would suggest, though, that the reason Psalm 1 is Psalm number 1 has a lot to do with verse 2. You know, the Psalms is a giant book. 150. Some church traditions have 151. We won't worry about that. 150 in our Bibles. And there's all kinds of material. You have praise and lament and all kinds of things in between. We have a huge span of time that they take place in. We have a large group of authors. Psalms has the shortest chapter in the Bible, and two chapters later has the longest chapter. chapter in the Bible. There's so much variety in Psalms. There's a lot of ways to enter into it. And a lot of the study in the Psalms has been trying to figure out, is there some sort of reason for the shape of it? And one of those questions is, why Psalm 1? There are two other Psalms that are very similar to Psalm 1. There's a large group that you can classify along with it, but two that are very, very similar. So they make a collection of three. They are kind of spaced out in the book of Psalms. You have Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 119. It's really easy to remember. They put them together. These are called the Torah Psalms. And I'm going to suggest this morning, let's take out the word law and find a better word there for this idea of Torah. You've probably heard of Torah. Probably, if I say, what's the Hebrew word for law? Probably most of you would say Torah. Probably also know Torah is another name for the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis to Deuteronomy. We might call it the Pentateuch. Jewish name would be Torah. And if you know a little bit about those five books, you know law is not a real sufficient name for those books. There's a lot that happens, a lot that is contained there. Torah might be better thought of as instruction, teaching. Torah, whether it's the written Torah or the oral Torah or the historical Torah or all the several different types of Torah that you find in Judaism, it is the way that God tries to show us what we need to know, teach us the things that we ought to know. The ideas of Torah are not at all separate from what comes after with the tree and the chaff. This idea of getting this instruction so that we can know what we need to know is something different than laws with, you know, whether something is legal or illegal. I think sometimes when we think of law, we tend to speak in very binary terms. Either you're following the law or you're not. Those who follow the law get blessings. Those who break the law get curses. We've looked at Deuteronomy, and we've talked about things in that way. Deuteronomy 28 does that. Psalm 1 and 19 and 119, and some would say overall shape of the Psalms, aren't talking about that type of law. We're talking about Torah, instruction, guidance. Got something that might help. Marcus is helping me with this class today. We're trying to find something good. I like the idea of the light. It kind of reminded me of Chronicles of Narnia. Come to the wardrobe and you see Mr. Tumnus at the lamppost, right? Torah. Kind of like this. Hey.
a true fit for the psalm. And we've got another one here. It goes from the same spot. I'm not skilled with yarn. I'm sure we have people in here that walk in full stride in this thing with them. Unschooled just as they wanted.
Okay. Can everybody see what we have here? We've got two lines coming from a central point. Which one's better? Is there anything really inherently better about either of these yarn lines? Would following one of them be better? Well, I suppose it depends on where you're trying to go. What you're needing to do. Maybe you need to come over to the table here and fill out directory information. As maybe some of you, this is what you need. And you need, the path is marked out. And you can come over here. Or maybe you're playing hide and seek and going under a table would be more useful. Or just playing under a table. Maybe that's useful. Or maybe there's a fire in the building. This one wouldn't be as useful. There's a fire, that one leads to the door. This one you're trapped in the corner by a tree that looks flammable-ish. These are just strings of yarn that go in different directions. Neither is better than the other. Neither is absolute truth until you know where you're trying to go. A lot of times when we talk about law, even when we use the friendly term Torah, we talk about blessings and curses. When we talk about wisdom, and Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm, it does very similar things to what the Proverbs do. When we talk about wisdom, we talk about if you do the righteous and wise thing, you're going to be blessed. And we say, if you do the wicked or foolish thing, you are going to get cursed. I don't believe that is what Psalm 1 is saying. I don't believe that Proverbs are saying. I don't think that when the Bible talks about Torah and law and blessings and curses, that it's saying that if you pick the right path, that God is going to give you something because you picked well. Stick with me. I see a few concerned faces. And I don't think it's saying that if you picked the wrong one, then God is going to punish you because you picked the wrong one. What it says, it's just as certain as a tree that is by water will naturally produce fruit and grow better, and a plant that is away from water will naturally struggle and ultimately die off. Those who follow the path laid out by the Torah of God. Again, it doesn't have to just be the law. The gospel is God's instruction. The gospel is God's teaching. Those who follow the Torah and the teaching and the instruction of God will naturally find themselves where that path leads. It's not so different than what Jesus said. Jesus said, there's two roads. One of them's easy, one of them's harder. One of them leads to God, one of them leads away. When we're talking about wisdom, when we're talking about Torah, it's not about picking the thing that's going to make God reward you and avoiding picking the thing that's going to make God smite you. I guess we don't use that word too much, smite. It's about knowing where the paths lead. It's about understanding where the water is. It's about understanding how God is trying to show us that this is what it looks like to be righteous. This is what it looks like to move nearer to God. Jesus said there's two roads. Deuteronomy says, I've laid out before you life and death. And then it says, choose life. It's not a trick. Psalm 1 says that if we focus on what God is trying to show us, if we focus on the things of God, we will know the right way to go. We'll know where we're trying to go and which path to follow. And it's not going to be the case. You know, Jesus doesn't say that the narrow road, once you get far enough along that narrow road, then you're going to be given a gift because you picked wisely and you're being rewarded. No, it says if you follow down the narrow road, you're going to end up where the narrow road goes. And it's where you want to be. It doesn't say if you follow down that wide road, that somewhere along the way, God's going to send an angel with the sword, and you're going to be in trouble because you picked wrong. He says, no. You picked the road that leads away from God. When we talk about blessings, when we talk about how to be happy, we shouldn't be thinking about reward and punishment, but where is our path headed? Psalm 1 says, meditate on Torah. This is the way to go. And if you go this way, you will be happy. And you will be blessed. Maybe not in all of the ways that happiness or blessings are counted. There are some ways that go in the other way. You can call it happiness, you can call it blessing. Maybe going that way will not bring all of the ways that happiness or blessings are counted. But in the ways that really matter, it will. And so Psalm 1 introduces a very unique book. A book that doesn't say, thus says the Lord, proclaim it unto the people. It's a book written by the people of God to God. And to one another about God. It's unique. In the Psalms, you find several different people on that path of Torah. several people trying to move closer to God instead of further away. And Psalm 1 says, if you want to be like the tree planted by water, and if you want to stand firm when the wind starts blowing, pay attention. Learn something. Find instruction in these words from the hearts of God's people. Some of them do better than others. Some of them find reasons to praise all day long. Some of them cry most of the day and might find a way to sing a praise before they fall asleep, exhausted from the tears. But these are all ways of finding ourselves to where we want to be. Psalm 1 is very brief. And like I put in the bulletin, very basic, according to one professor that I had. But I like it where it is. I like it at the beginning of that journey. I think it can teach us something about what it looks like to try to follow God. We're almost done, guys. We're almost done, guys. If you want to be blessed and happy, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. You'll have opportunities. Don't do it. Let your delight be in the instruction, the teaching, the Torah, the law, the word of the Lord. And on that word, meditate day and night. Let it be what you are about. Let it be what you do. Let it be reflected. Let it show in the choices you make. You don't have to murmur over a page to be able to appreciate and learn from the instruction of God. Next week we're going to get a new text. I think I've enjoyed our time in Psalm 1. We're going to move on, find ourselves planted someplace else. Let's keep these ideas of Psalm 1. Whatever image helps you along the way better, whether it's the tree or the chaff or our yarn. There is a lot to learn. And we are blessed to have a lot of teachers, a lot of sources. We talked about inspiration last year. We talked about revelation, how God reveals himself at the end of last year. Psalm 1 says, always be on the lookout. Watch who you're walking with. Pay attention to the path you're on. And so that's where we stand this morning. I don't know if we're at the crossroads or if we're down the road. I hope we're a good ways down the road. Hope there's some road ahead of us too. But I hope we're on the right path. As we close, let's try to be reflective. Let's try to think about if we are finding our delight in that path. If there's anything you need, if you need the support of the congregation, this is family time. If you need prayers or a third hug of the day, That's what we're here for. I think we have water in here. Yeah, all right. If you need to respond in that way, it's here. Whatever you need, please come forward as we stand and sing.
So, Savior, thou art me.